I doubt not God is good, well-meaning, kind. And did he stoop to quibble, could tell why the little buried mole continues blind. Why flesh that mirrors him must someday die. Inscrutable his ways are, and immune to catechism by a mind too strewn with petty cares to slightly understand what awful brain compels his awful hand. Yet do I marvel at this curious thing, to make a poet black and bid him sing.
Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. In a career that was short but brilliant, a young American poet collected most of the major poetry awards before he met his maker. He was the much-quoted County Cullen. In a chapter entitled Pagan Poet, Destination Freedom tells the odd story of the growth of County Cullen.
When I die, send me to my mother. I say when I die, send me to my ma. And if my ma don't want me, please send me to my pa.
Hey, you out there!
And if my pa don't want me,
hey, let them pants alone, you hear me?
Throw me through the deep blue sea.
He was teenaged and tanned, and had taken time off from the job of the farmer to paint pictures on a canvas. He was wild and woolly-haired, and sang snatches of the blues he'd pick out of the air. He was painting the sunshine and shadows when the farmer's fingers found his collar.
Now, find time to waste when I'm paying you to work, will you? There!
Let me go. Take your hands off me.
Ed, let him go.
He'll go to the devil when I'm finished.
Let him go, I say.
All right, Pearl. I'm not paying the tramp to paint fool pictures with your colors.
I gave him the paints, Ed.
You gave him?
I've been teaching him to draw. He's got natural talent.
Yeah, you got a talent for trouble.
He paints better than I do, Ed, and I'm trained for it. You don't mind
I do mind my wife taking up time with a tramp.
He's just a kid.
Yeah, all tramps was kids at one time. I don't want this one around when he grows up.
Oh, listen, Ed.
Never mind. I know the way the wind's blowing, so I'll blow.
Yeah, it's better.
Can I get my things out of your shed?
No. You stay here inside. I'll get them myself.
I'm sorry you've got to go.
I'll do all right.
If you had some folks...
I said I'd do all right, ma'am.
You take my paints with you. Try to practice in your spare time.
All my time's spare.
All right, here's your rags. Now be off with you. Go on. We want no part of you.
And the boy went on.
That boy's born to be a tramp. Bad to be without folks, but he ain't even got no religion. Bad to have no place to go, but he ain't got no intentions of getting there. Buck dancing in the towns all winter like a wild thing. Living off the farms all summer, always fighting. Wonder if folks think he's too unreliable to adopt. Now you're gone and giving him paintbrushes to play with.
He went away humming and hid himself, and played for days with his new brushes, crept out at nights to forage for food, and kept playing until he put his queer color combinations into pictures and took a stack of them on his back to the village fair.
Hurry, hurry, folks. The biggest little fair in the state of New York are going on right here in your own town. Everything on exhibition for half the dollar. $1 admits you. Now get away, boy. Don't you see I'm busy here? The biggest hogs, the biggest cows, the biggest ears are called.
Mister, you got any pictures?
Boy, didn't you hear me? Go drop dead, let me make my living.
I thought you could use some pictures.
Where'd you steal them?
I made them.
You what? Yeah, you just might have. You're that crazy orphan kid, ain't you? And them you're toting on your back?
Yeah, see? You said you sell everything.
Yeah, but there's some things Barnum himself can't sell, kid. These ain't bad.
You like them?
I'll tell you what, kid. Hang them up. I'll lay down my spiel when one comes around.
Which one?
The one that's born every minute. I'll pass you off as a wild artist.
Wild?
Now, don't worry. You don't need no makeup. Act natural.
Uh-huh.
I take 80%. We divide the remaining 20 between us.
Uh-huh.
Now, you just set them up over there kind of weird like the pictures and get out of my way. Let me make my living. All right, folks. All right, this way. A new art exhibition straight from Paris. Stolen from the Louvre. Yes, sir, folks. Pictures you can't get nowhere else but right over here, folks. Get an eye for folks. No home should be without one of these beautiful pictures.
My good man.
You want something, madam?
Yes. Who's responsible for this excellent art exhibit?
My wife and I'd like to buy some for my collection. Do you know the artist?
Know him? I own him, man.
Oh?
Now, if you just wait here, I'll get him and he'll tell you what the pictures mean.
Thank you, my good man. Oh, really, Milton, these are quite good, don't you think?
Well, indeed they are, my dear. They must be by somebody rather important.
Oh, yes. We must have one or two.
Yes.
Here you are, folks. Here's the genuine artist, right from the streets of Paris.
You mean this Vandal?
He made those pictures?
I sure did, ma'am.
Dear, I think there are some pictures we can do without. Come along, dear.
Of course, Milton. We can't hang him in the living room now.
Hey, now wait. You ain't seen them all, eh?
Of all a knife.
Too bad, kid. Better luck next time.
Say, Pete, these pictures for sale?
Why, yes, Reverend.
Did I hear you say they're imported?
Well, in a sort of way of speaking, I never swore no Bible they was. See, this here kid, he...
Did this boy draw them?
Well, so he alleges, Reverend. I wouldn't swear no Bible. It's true. I ain't that kind of man.
Come here, boy.
Yeah?
What's your name?
Joseph Marcus.
He's that orphan kid, Reverend. The one that lives with trouble all the time.
Yes, I wanted to meet him.
Oh, well, Joe... meet the Reverend Alexander Cullen, the greatest gospel minister on this side of the sea, the Lord's trusted.
That's all right, Pete. Joe, how'd you like to live with me?
You? I'm living all right.
I think you would find it much better in a home.
Yeah?
Suppose you come with me, Joe. We'll go over and meet the missus and see what she thinks of the idea. Come along, I'll show you the way.
Let go my arm.
I only want you to go with
me. I said let go.
Now, don't hit the Reverend. You watch
out.
Let
me go.
Well, there he goes. He's wild. You can't cultivate that weed, Reverend.
It's a shame to waste that talent.
Waste it? Reverend, put this thing in my hands. I'll take him just the way he is. He likes to paint and dance and sing. I like to promote. We go together, Reverend. We go together.
The promoter and the kid got together. And on the street corners and the sidewalks, the two made a living. One with his legs and taps, the other with his wits.
Okay, folks. Step right up and see the greatest little old dancer since Nijinsky. Joseph Markovich, imported. Strictly imported. Doing steps you ain't never seen before. Now don't crowd us, folks. Drop your quarter, and you'll tempt the great Joseph to dance. The more quarters, the more tempted he gets. One more quarter, and he'll yield to temptation. That, you persuaded him. What you think of that, folks? Ain't that Nijinsky? One quarter more, and he'll be doing steps you ain't never heard of, much less seen.
Well, I see you got the kid into your hands.
Now, see here, Reverend, we're strictly legit.
I understand. You mind if I watch?
Well, you kind of inhibit the affair, Rev. You see what's happened to the crowd since you've been here? You put the damper on.
Very well. I'll go. But I still would like to talk to the boy.
Oh, sure. We'll be seeing you in church, Reverend, as soon as this dance is over.
All right, I'll expect you. Don't forget.
Oh, don't worry. All right, folks, step back up. See the greatest dancer since way back in the olden days. All for a quarter, just a little old quarter.
The boy danced through the summers. But when the snow set in, promoter looked for another way to live.
This stuff ain't no good for the wintertime, kid. And I ain't selling no more of your paintings.
Gee, I guess we can't make it. together anymore.
Well, don't think I'm letting you down, boy.
Me?
I ain't that kind of man. See, dancing ain't the proper way to make a living, nohow.
What is?
Well, I'll tell you. Just between you and me, kid, we need another one of these.
A gun?
Yeah. Cute, ain't it? Need one for me and one for you.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I do know. Stick with me and you'll know, too.
I don't know.
What do you got to lose? Who are you responsible to?
Myself?
Then act like it. Now, pay attention. Here's how you load these things.
He looked and learned. And in the cold winters, the boy stalked out of the brick and steel jungle to the city with steel tiptoes and brass knuckles. And the law learned to watch his activities.
Now, pay attention, Joe Marcus.
Yes, Your Honor.
In view of the extenuating circumstances of your birth, court is being lenient. We're placing you in a foster home. But if you are again picked up on suspicion, we'll give you the full penalty.
Don't worry about the courts, kid. I can fix it. You're young, you got talent, you gotta learn how to exploit it. Just keep away from the Reverend.
The promoter ran a silent race with the Reverend. And one evening, he decided to leap ahead with his protege.
All right. You got fast feet. Walk up ahead. You see a cop? All tail.
But what?
I'll be taking care of this currency exchange is what. Now go on. Keep your eyes open for cops.
All right, Pete. I'll keep them open.
The boy kept his eyes open. The boy walked, but not alone.
You looking for someone, kid?
A cop. Pete!
Shut up, kid.
Run, Pete, run!
Stop or I'll shoot!
You hit him.
Sure. He was a wild one, all right. Now you come on the court, kid. Let the judge tame you while the taming is good.
The judge had given up the taming. The court was cold. The court was brief.
That sums it up as far as we're concerned. Too bad there's no place to send you but the House of Correction. But we can't have you breaking out of another foster home. You understand?
I understand.
Very well.
Judge, Your Honor, may I have a word?
Why, yes, Reverend Cullen.
I've asked that the boy be sent to my home.
Well, knowing the record, you're still willing to take him?
If he's willing.
Well, Marcus, you heard that.
I heard it.
If you are brainy enough to survive 14 years alone, you ought to be brainy enough to know whether to go with Mr. Cullen or go to jail.
What's the difference?
Now, see here. Keep a civil tongue in your...
Never mind, Your Honor. I'll show him the difference, if he'll go with me.
Well, boy?
Lead the way, Reverend.
Good.
I don't know, Reverend Cullen. You've done a lot for the boys who've strayed in here. This one's as wild a pagan as ever needed civilizing. Well, go on. It's your job now.
The Reverend Mr. Cullen took his job across town to the home he had held open for the boy since the first day he saw him.
Mildred? Mildred?
Yes, Alexander, what is it?
Come down, meet our new son.
Son? What are you joking about, Alex? Is it Joseph?
Yes, but don't look surprised. We've talked about him for some time.
Yes, only... Well, he doesn't look exactly like the kind of son I've dreamed of.
Well, now, ma'am, you ain't exactly the kind of mama I've been dreaming about either.
Oh, good boy. We're even. If you can take me, I can take you.
Well, Joseph, what do you say? Think you can learn to call her mother?
All right. Mother.
You see, that doesn't sound bad, does it?
No, it doesn't.
He said the word over and over, and was surprised at the sound. And when he went up to his room and looked around, was startled. For the next morning, it was his mother who was startled.
Joseph, it's time to get... He's gone. Alexander!
Yes?
He's gone.
Sure, he's gone. It takes a bird a long time to learn to live in a cage. He's flown, but he'll be back.
Why do you think so?
There was something in the way he called you mother, I think will make him remember something he's long forgotten. He'll come back, and we'll see if we can turn his talents another way. Joseph?
Yeah?
You've come back. I was expecting...
I didn't come for no preaching. I forgot my cap. Let me get it and I'm going.
The boy got his cap and drifted again. But he kept coming back. And finally, he stayed.
My son, I suppose you wondered why I've waited so long for you.
Well, in a way, yes.
It's because since the first day I saw you behind those odd paintings Pete was trying to sell, since then I've believed in you.
How?
I've believed that you had something to tell the world, and you were struggling for a way to say it. I want to bring out the things you wanted to say. I'm going to send you through school. I'm going to make you over into my own son. Do you mind taking my name?
Well?
I would have named my son County. County Cullen. I wanted him to be an excellent student. A Phi Beta Kappa, perhaps. A graduate of New York University and Harvard. And a poet.
I'd sort of, well, like to paint.
We'll see. Now, suppose we start now to build County Cullen.
The Reverend Mr. Cullen started carefully, transferred all his thoughts to his new son, coached him in the catechism, rubbed off the sharp, slum-shocked edges, and found underneath an apt pupil who caught up with and passed his class through high school and college and fulfilled his new father's ambition.
Your son's been elected to Phi Beta Kappa, Mr. Cullen. I wanted to be the first to tell you.
Thank you, Dean.
He's exactly what I imagined your son would be. Cultured, scholarly. In fact, after he finishes school, there's a very good job waiting for him in our new college, of which I may become president.
I think he would like that.
You know, your son has an unusual sense of color and form, Mr. Cullen. He tells me you object to his continuing to paint.
Well, I don't really object, only I would like...
Well, he's entered several pictures in the annual art exhibit. If he wins, I expect he'll devote most of his time to art.
I wanted a poet.
What did you say, Father?
Your father was regretting that you didn't turn to poetry.
What on earth would I write about?
Well, some feeling, some memory, something that stayed with you through the years. Do you have anything like that?
Yes, I do have something like that. It seems once I was in Baltimore...
You never told me that.
There's just one thing I remember about Baltimore. Once riding in old Baltimore, heart-filled, head-filled with glee, I saw a Baltimorean keep looking straight at me. Now, I was 4 and very small, and he was no whit bigger, and so I smiled. But he poked out his tongue and called me nigger. I saw the whole of Baltimore from May until December. Of all the things that happened there, that's all that I remember.
He sent in his poem to a college contest. And a week later, on his routine job as elevator boy in a skyscraper, a passenger got in.
Down, please, number 2.
Yes, sir.
Hey, boy.
Huh?
See you in the paper with an elevator boy copped a big prize in the art exhibit last night.
Yeah?
Yeah. And comes back and this A.M. gets a college prize for poetry. Some elevator boy, huh? You know him? Here's his mug all over page 3.
Say, let me see it, will you?
Sure, here. You know him?
Know him? Why, it's me.
Huh? Say, get up. You're past my stop. Say, kid, stop this elevator. Wake up!
He woke up in a hospital. And at home, the dean had words with his friend, the Reverend Mr. Cullen.
I suppose you've gotten the hospital report on the boy.
I got it, but I don't understand it. What does it all mean?
Well, that... it'll be a miracle if he lives the long life you planned for him. He's very ill, and he won't be doing the painting I'd hoped he would. But when he's better, send him over to my new school. I have a place for him on the staff. And meanwhile, let him look back into the past. It'll make him stronger.
The boy lay in the hospital and looked back into his past, fumbled and kept finding pieces of himself that he put into poetry.
Some are swaddled in silk and down, and heralded by a star. They swathed my limbs in a sackcloth gown on a night that was black as tar. For some, godfather and goddame, the opulent fairies be. Dame Poverty gave me my name, and pain godfathered me. For I was born on Saturday. Bad time for planting a seed, was all my father had to say, and one more mouth to feed. Death cut the strings that gave me life and handed me to sorrow, the only kind of middle life my folks could beg or borrow.
He wrote more and more. And when he was well again, he had carved a niche as a poet, winning a Guggenheim Fellowship, the Spingarn Medal, and the annual award of the Poetry Society of America, and many others. And he applied for the job the dean had promised.
I understand you wanted me to take over your art department.
Yes, Cullen. I'd like for you to meet my assistant here, Mrs. Fitch. This is the young poet who I've been...
How do you do? I've heard so much about Mr. Cullen and his poetry. I think it's just grand. And I'd love to have one of his paintings. I'm so glad to meet you, Mr. Cullen.
I think we've met before, madam.
Oh?
We? Where?
I painted some pictures once, long ago, for a little town fair. You asked to meet me.
You were that ragamuffin? That little pagan?
I was, madam.
He thought back on the boy he had left behind and went on with his teaching and observed the life around him in the new college.
And now, Mr. Cullen, we want you to be perfectly at home here and feel just like one of us. If you don't mind coming to class a little earlier than the others in the morning and seeing that the janitor gets his work done, I think we'll get along lovely, just lovely.
And of this lady, he wrote his most widely quoted lines.
She even thinks that up in heaven her class lies late and snores, while poor black cherubs rise at 7 to do celestial chores.
Mr. Cullen, could you take over the job of helping to supervise the porters? I'm sure it won't interfere with your teaching.
I'm sure it wouldn't either, ma'am, only I'm leaving the school tonight. In the morning, I'll be down in Alabama.
What in the world will you be doing in Alabama?
There's a report in the papers that 9 ragamuffins, as I used to be, were taken off a train and are held in Scottsboro, Alabama, charged with a crime.
Oh, yes, the Scottsboro case. I've been reading about it.
I'm going to see if I can do something about it. I'm going down to the trials. And I'm going to travel over the country and try to wake up my fellow poet.
I thought you were such a cultured gentleman.
When innocent men are being lynched under the name of a fair trial, madam, waking up the world is the only way to save this culture.
He went out to wake up his fellow poets, and he prodded their consciousness and pricked them with his words.
I said, now will the poets sing. Their cries go thundering like blood and tears into the nation's ears. Like lightning dart into the nation's heart. Against disease and death and all things fell and war, their strophes rise and swell to jar the foe smug in his citadel. Remembering their sharp and pretty tunes for Sacco and Vanzetti, I said, here, too,'s a cause divinely spun for those whose eyes are on the sun. Here, in epitome, is all disgrace and epic wrong, like wine to brace the minstrel heart and blare it into song. Surely, I said, now will the poet sing. But they have raised no cry. I wonder why.
And when his father heard of it, He was disturbed and troubled.
You know as well as I do, you haven't enough time to waste your strength fighting lost causes.
You call this lost?
Listen to me. I've given you something for which I do not expect appreciation, but understanding. True, you've repaid me well. I wanted a poet, you've become a poet. Still, your life may be short.
I know that.
Then they've told you. Then you should be more willing to live quietly. Fighting is for those who have fists.
I once had fists.
You're still young. Your blood still boils. Inside, you're all rebellion. Settle this once and for all. Remain here, quiet with me, or roam over the country and shorten your life. Settle it with yourself.
He went away to settle it with himself. And once in storm and rain, he walked miles and examined his heritage and what had been handed him by his new father.
I can never rest at all when the rain begins to fall. Like a soul gone mad with pain, I must match its weird refrain. All day long and all night through, one thing only must I do. Quench my pride and cool my blood, lest I perish in the flood. Lest a hidden ember set timber that I thought was wet, burning like the driest flax, melting like the merest wax. Lest the grave restore its dead. Not yet has my heart nor head in the least way realized they and I are civilized.
And when the rain and pondering were over, he left the quiet of his home and decided on living the short life. In the years that were left, he won the acclaim of the critics, and the people who loved his poetry stretched across two continents. He spent his life in teaching and traveling, and went wherever he could write lyrics of the joys and sorrows surrounding him, in France, England, and the Caribbean. The critics acclaimed his work as the Renaissance in literature. He never renounced the Reverend Mr. Cullen's teachings, but throughout his life he struggled with what he called a Christian upbringing and a pagan inclination. In the last years of his life, he wrote poems only for children and died at the age of 37.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of Pagan Poet, the story of County Cullen. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. The role of County Cullen was played by Oscar Brown, Jr. Others were Janice Kingslow, Dean Almquist, Maurice Copeland, Fred Pinkard, Russ Reed, and Studs Terkel. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen and Jose Bethencourt. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us again next Sunday morning at this same time when Destination Freedom will tell the story of the Negro sociologist Ida B. Wells. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.